Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. Luther and economics is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. I'd like to invite you to go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, to find the nearest Lutheran congregation to where you live, and I'd like to invite you to go along and join them for worship. I'd also like to thank you for all of your prayerful and financial support of Lutheran Radio, for without your prayers and without your financial assistance, it would be impossible for us to carry on this mission of reaching out with God's Word to people from all over the world. Today on Lutheran Radio, we're very excited to welcome Dr. Ricardo Reith. Dr. Reith is the Vice Regent of the Lutheran University of Brazil in Canoas. He is an ordained pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil. He also serves as chief editor of the Committee of Translating Luther's Works into Portuguese, and he is a member of the Continuation Committee of the International Congress of Luther Research. We're very pleased to welcome Dr. Reith to LRUK as we discuss Luther and his understanding of economics. We'd like to discuss Luther's thoughts on economics. We often think of Luther as a great theologian, but was Luther an economist?
Yeah, it's a good question. I have graduated both in theology and sociology and have always that interest. How someone that as a theologian works like Luther, how can our faith, another question that normally we don't think that belongs to church and theology and so on. But Luther, of course, Luther, he was not an economist. Luther was a theologian. He understand himself as a theologian all the time. But as a theologian, that is very strong engaged in the church as a preacher, not only a university professor, but also as a preacher. And not only a preacher, but also someone that hears the confessions from the people in the church. And so he was... Very often, he received a lot of questions, for example, from Christians that worked with trade, or some Christians also that had something to do with the financial market that was growing in that time, 16th century. 16th century, we understand in Europe, it's a pre-capitalistic time. Some of the conditions of capitalism are growing very, very fast. One of that is the growing of the banks and the financial system to support the production that is going on. So he, as a theologian, as a pastor, was confronted with that questions. What says the gospel to that? Can I be someone that works with trade, for example? Like in other situations, as we know for Luther, for example, with military. Some people ask, can I be a soldier, for example? And so he understands himself as a preacher that he should help that Christians to find in the gospel the answers to their questions.
So Luther was very pastorally concerned for his people?
I think that is one important point. As Luther reflects on ethics, on that field, especially economics and social issues, he never give ready answers. First of all, he tries to understand the question. He, as a theologian, but also as a very intelligent man, very clever also, he tried to understand what is going on. His way from his home, also to, for example, to the castle church, he was through the market. So he tried to speak with people from the market to understand what they do. That was a very important point, to understand the issue. What is that? And then, as a theologian, he searched in the scripture texts that have to do with that. And for him, it was very important, the Sermon of the Mountain. Sermon of the Mountain, to think about economic issues, was very special for him, especially that part, as Jesus said, when you are going on the road and someone say to you, walk
another mile with me.
And when
give me your coat and then give me your shirt as well.
That's the challenge to a Christian, by handle with material things, with money, and so that's the challenge. That's what Jesus says. Now you have to see how you can handle in that situation. And then he tried to give some tips for that. For example, the financial thing. Can I do usury, for example, to give someone money and then receive back more than was given? It is righteous to do that. That's a big question. And he says that it's not correct to a Christian to do that because of the Sermon of the Mountain. The Christian, through his faith, he is, has to help their neighbor, and this help must be a help that helps to the neighbor to develop his life and come to another situation through learning, through his work. And so we come then to the all the Luther's concerns on the community chest and so on. That's very important also. But I think that that's good to say, especially for us today. We are in the church. We try to reflect theologically. We are committed also to mission and to preaching of the gospel. It's very important to see that example of Luther that we have. We have to try to know what is going on. Yeah, to have this information, not only think, yeah, I know everything through the Bible. I have to understand what is going on in economics and social issues, and then help the people to find in the Holy Scripture the points that can help to ground, to give a fundament to an ethical decision in that point.
You mentioned that Luther was against usury, that is, charging interest on a loan. But Luther also had some pretty harsh things to say about avarice or the love of money. What did Luther have to say about greed?
Yeah, that was very interesting. My dissertation, my doctoral dissertation, was on the understanding on greed in the theology of Western Christianity. So we can see that since the New Testament, you can see a very negative comprehension of greed. And also in the early church leaders and the theologians, the church fathers, he tried to find also in the Old Testament some passages, some texts that were strongly against. Greed was described as a virtue. And then in this transition from old church to Middle Ages was one of the seven sins. In Luther's time, there was developing the pre-capitalistic forms, And as we see in capitalism, someone that is involved with trade or with industry, those people, they have to risk. They have to try new things. They have to earn a lot of money. So in the capitalistic history related to ethics, the greed converted itself in a virtue. If you read Adam Smith, by his description of capitalism, he says that the capitalist, he has to develop that virtue of greed. And that it's very interesting to study this in the 16th and 17th century, because there you can see, for example, Luther maintains the comprehension of greed as a sin. But you can see in another situations, for example, Calvin. Calvin is in a city where the Christians are more confronted with a credit society where it's a lot of credit and money and trade. And he thought in another way about this. Luther was more thinking the ideal form of some of the production is what you do as a farmer. The farmer is the ideal, not someone that is in industry or someone.
I find that quite interesting because Luther was part of that tension. Luther's father began working in a mine, and he actually ended up owning that mine. And he wanted his son Martin to become a lawyer to help him make sure that he was able to increase his wealth. But Luther seems to have downplayed that, almost turned his back on this. Is there any indication that his early training played any part in that?
That is, he has a sensibility, for example, to people that cannot work, an old person, for example, that he can then practice usury. He has no understanding to usury to finance the production, but to consume, especially from people that cannot work, for him it was a possibility. But when he begins his writings on usury, he has a lot of paragraphs where he brings the opinion, I feel that is a development that we cannot stop. But he says, despite I have this feeling, I have to say what the gospel have to say on this. I have to be clear as a preacher. So I think we have in our time a very different situation. You cannot imagine economics today without a financial system, for example. Yeah, it's necessary to the production to maintain the jobs and so on. But this concept, this point that what I have, the money I have, the things I have, that I have, all this, I received that from God to serve my neighbor, that this remains. This remains for us, and we have to think about this in our situation in the 21st century.
And Luther thought about this in his 16th century context. You mentioned earlier the community chest, his care for the poor. Can you tell us some more about what he thought ought to be done to help the poor and the elderly and the disabled?
Yeah, Luther was confronted with that situation here in Wittenberg, because there were some city regulation, and many cities has a regulation, for example, to beggars. There was beggars were beggars because of a religious cause, no? The monks that were beggars. But there were beggars because they were poor or handicapped. Luther was very happy in 1523 as he received one of those reglements from a community very close here from Wittenberg called the Leisnig. That community, they read Luther's writings. They were very happy with the ideas, Luther's, with his preaching of the gospel. And they wanted to have a community this way. And so he asked to Luther's on the question of liturgy, on the questions of how can a community handle, or how is the ministry in the community, and if the community is obliged to maintain all the time his pastor or no, and the relationship between a pastor or a preacher and the community. That was a second theme, and also the question of the goods of the community, what the community has, and the question of a chest where you can then have all what the people give to the community, and what are collected also for the community, and how you can use then, for example, with beggars. And Luther thought that the community in Leisnig, they do not have to accept more beggars that could work, for example, like monks, but they have to find a way, the beggars that were very poor, to help them to learn a job, to find a way to come out of that situation. That was always very important. For Luther, the help of the community cannot maintain someone in a situation of dependency. That's very important. And so, what Luther wrote a presentation to that order from Leisnig, and that was then later used also in a lot of other cities. A very good example is Nuremberg. Nuremberg, that had an order since the Middle Ages, they were, it reflected itself very strong there. So, I think that's what we can say. For Luther as a theologian and as a preacher, all themes, all questions are questions to the church, to the preacher, and there is no situation or question you can say, I have nothing to do with that. That's very important. But he was aware that there are different forms to understand the same question. For example, you can see the question of usury as a theologian or as someone that has to do with as a lawyer. And it's interesting how the economic historians have read Luther's writings. The economic history developed especially in the 19th century. And we had one school, it's economic positivism. This school, they thought Luther was someone of the Middle Ages. Yeah, what he wrote, it's the thinking of someone of the Middle Ages. He has no understanding for the changes that what are happening. Another point of view, it's very interesting, was from the Marxist school. Marx, in different writings, he tried to describe Luther's thinking, his method, and so he can see many points, many aspects that were later developed by Adam Smith by trying to understand the capitalism. For Karl Marx, it was much more important not what Luther wrote, but his method.
You lived in the old German Democratic Republic. So what was their view of Luther and his economic teachings? Or did they even think about this at all?
There was, since 1983, that was a jubileum, Luther here, the socialist state in DDR, they tried to describe Luther as an important historical person in Germany and try to see how he helped to develop Germany to come to the situation also in socialism. But there was also this perspective of finding someone in the history of Germany with a revolutionary perspective. That perspective was found in Thomas Münzer. Thomas Münzer was a preacher, theologian, and he related himself with the peasants. And he was together by that tragedy of the Peasants' War in 1525. In the time I was here, there was the last years of the DDR, 1989, they celebrated the 500 years of Thomas Münzer. And I heard from a Marxist historian that the DDR don't need more revolutionary like Thomas Münzer. The DDR today needs a reformer like Martin Luther. It was the time of Perestroika and Glasnost, and we can understand what he would like to say. But the Marxist historiography in the DDR tried always to do a research to justify his political model, and was so done. So after the end of the DDR, for example, the most of those historians didn't made no more research on Luther or Reformation or so on. It was more something of the party to develop now.
After you finished your PhD in Germany, you then returned home to Brazil and you began teaching. But is there any remnant of liberation theology or South American theology that would use Luther to justify their teachings?
The fall of the wall at the end of the socialism in East Europe, it was a big problem to the liberation theology, because liberation theology has a very strong concern with economical things. The sociological approach was very strong from the beginning of the theology of liberation. And what was the problem with the socialism in East Europe? It was a bankrupt. The system did not remain as an economical system. That was the problem. And that brought a crisis in liberation theology. And that was the time and that I was returning to my country. So the movement tried to find another ways. For example, Leonardo Boff had much more a concern than to environment. All the questions related to ecology and environment. Another liberation theology tried to reflect more about relationship from theology, church, and culture. There was in 1992 the 500 years of the discovery of America, and so all the question about what happened by this by that contact from missionaries to the Indians in America, and this cultural shock that happened there. So if we have before and comprehension of liberation theology as one movement, after the beginning of the 90s, you can find many different ways. And the economic question was no more so underlined as in the 70s or in the 80s.
Again, let's head back to Luther. What do you think Luther would have to say to the church today regarding how we use money, how we think about money, how we handle money, or how we in the West use and view capitalism? Sorry to put you on the spot, but if he could preach to us today, what do you think Luther would have to say?
I think he would criticize very strong how the money that the churches spent with their own structures and the not using of that money really to the preaching of the gospel, or not to use in a better way that money. That would be, I think, a concern. But I think he would try also to understand the circumstances and would try to follow his methodological way to understand with the instruments that we have today, to understand what happened, and then to find positions of the gospel to help the people to handle it.
Dr. Reith, we'd like to thank you for being our guest on Lutheran Radio UK today. Thank you for giving us some very interesting insights into Luther's thoughts on economics. We pray God's continued blessings on you and your teaching, and to all of our brothers and sisters in the Lutheran Church in Brazil.
Okay, thank you very much, and I wish also blessings to your work through this radio, that it's very important to us.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.